Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Jeff Haven, and he is going to tell us about foolproof tips for losing our jobs. What on earth is this all about?
Well, it's actually designed to help people keep their jobs, but it's a lot more fun to talk about how to lose your job. So instead of sounding like a lecture, this is going to sound just a little bit different. So I'm hoping that people actually pay attention.
Okay. So you are teaching people to find more engagement in their employment. Teach us about a little bit about leadership and just all the different generations that are working in the employment area now, and how to bridge those gaps and teach.
Yes, that is correct. I have an interesting background. I spent several years as a professional stand-up comedian, touring around doing that, and transitioned. And then before that was a high school teacher. So I managed to put those two things together and talk about professional development, how we can get along. But instead of spending all of my time talking about how we can get along and be successful, I also spend a lot of time talking about how we can not get along with each other and be total failures, so that you get the message both of what you should do and what you shouldn't do.
Okay, so you have ways to keep business from being just plain boring, too.
That is the goal, yeah. I think a lot of people feel like education or training is something that they have to do, that they don't want to do. A lot of people, you know, since middle school, basically haven't wanted to be lectured to, and it's the same at conferences and in training sessions all around the country with grown adults. They all sit in the back of the room so they can sneak out if they're bored, and my goal is to make sure that that's not how they feel.
Okay. And how do you create that interest or that engagement?
Mostly by making sure that it's entertaining. I think that's one of the things that often gets left out of education and training. In certain cases, it's very difficult to make something entertaining if you're talking about safety, for example, or other things where it's really important to make sure that people, you know, don't get hurt. But in most cases, the things that we talk about, there's no reason that you can't make it fun. There's no reason that you can't talk about worst practices. There's no reason you can't throw a few jokes in here and there. And the problem, I think, for a lot of people is that most educators don't have that background, and then most entertainers also don't have any kind of business expertise. And so it's hard to find somebody who can kind of bring those two arenas together. And fortunately, I'm in that position, and so I'm not alone. I don't mean that, but I'm in that position and able to do it, and it works out pretty well.
So it's a wonderful blend. At what age do we quit learning? Should we ever quit learning when we're in our jobs? You know, might be getting near retirement or getting, we've been doing the same old thing for 30, 40 years. How do you help us look at it in a creative way?
Well, I've been here for 6 months, so how come I don't run the place already? And you just want to shake them until you can beat the knowledge into them that they haven't ever gotten good at anything in 6 months. You know, you need to practice sports, instruments, recipes, video games, languages. Take your pick. All of those take years of time to get good at, so don't expect your job to be any different. And on the other side, as we get closer to retirement, a lot of us decide that, I'm just going to phone it in. I don't want to try anymore. I've already done okay. Don't make me learn anymore. And the comparison I like to make there is, okay, fine. When you go home today, why don't you talk to your spouse that you've been married to for 26 years and just tell them, hey, I'm done telling you I love you. I still love you. I just don't want to say it anymore. You know, I'm going to save us some time.
Right.
Yeah, I'll buy you a drink when they kick you out.
Yeah. Okay. And the college degree, I mean, there's lots of ways to learn. There's lots of on-the-job training. How important is going for secondary education?
I think that a lot of people misunderstand what those advanced degrees mean. And it really doesn't matter what the degree is. If you're talking an advanced technical degree, if you're talking a four-year degree, anything else, it doesn't mean that you have the skills necessary to do any particular job, because you probably don't. You'll learn your specific job skills on the job, and most employers are well aware of that. That's why you get onboarding training when you get hired pretty much anywhere you go. What those degrees signify to the world at large is that you are able to learn and you are willing to stick with it for long enough to accomplish something, you know, 2 years, 4 years, whatever it is. And those are very, very positive signals to be sending to people. They aren't requirements, but in the absence of any better way for us to prove to others that we are capable of learning and willing to do something, you know, focus for a long period of time, they are really important just indicators that we have those skills.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What are one of the best ways you can think of that if we just want to get fired? What would be the first thing we would do?
You definitely need to go in thinking that you know everything. You should come in very confident, very cocky, unwilling to listen to other people because you already know what you need to know, which means I don't need to pay attention to whatever this training is. I'll be able to figure it out. How hard could this job be? I mean, you're doing it, so I think I'm going to coast pretty easily. That's a wonderful way to start. There's a lot of people who still lose their jobs faking their resumes, and I don't want to overlook the simple ways to lose your job. Start out by lying about what you've done, and then just wait to get caught. I mean, everything's online now, so it's not going to be that hard for people to look you up. And considering how bored most of us are and how willing we are to play stupid games on our phones, I think it's possible that hiring managers might spend 15 idle minutes looking up your background to see if it's the truth. So I think those are two excellent ways just off the bat. I have more if you want.
Oh, absolutely. What's some more?
Well, like as we've already talked about, I think it's important to let people or to stop learning, as we've already mentioned, let people know that I know everything I need to know. You can come in that way. You can decide to be that way later on in your career. An absolute terror of change is a wonderful way to deal with things, too. There's a wonderful phrase, well, that's not the way we've always done things. And nobody's ever always done things the exact same way. I don't know if any listeners are aware of this, but the world we live in today is slightly different than it was, let's say, 400 years ago, because things are constantly changing. But that's no reason for you to accept it as it happens to you. So wild, irrational fear of change, I think, is another great approach.
But
and
we still
if you're not sure how to do it, here are some sentences that I think can get you started.
Okay.
That's not the way we do things around here. I think that's great. I don't think that will work. Notice I'm not telling you to say why you don't think something will work. I just simple out-of-hand rejection. Don't get into details. Just shut it down right at the beginning. Think like that again, and I'm calling security. I think that would be good. Unusual one, but that's good for kind of managers. You know, mm-hmm. Don't rock the boat. That's a good one to kind of tell people to stay in line. Never mind that boats are literally designed for rocking. I mean, that's why we made them. And that rocking is one of the most soothing motions known to our species. The point I'm trying to get across here is you should shut your mouth.
Absolutely. And we've gone over the technological part of people checking up on you. Is technology to our benefit or at this point in holding our jobs, like as long as we're learning all the technology we can?
Yeah, I think it really depends on how you use it. It's certainly easier to find information than it used to be. You know, you don't have to go to the library to look for the book that has the knowledge you want. I mean, literally all of human knowledge sits in our pockets now. And that is an awesome benefit to all of this technology. And so if you use it in that capacity, that's great. You can find opportunities. You can find the specific person that you're looking for at a company if you're looking for a new job, for example. So, yeah, there's a ton of positives. The big negative, and I think this is one that a lot of us struggle with, is technology has given us the illusion that everything is easy to find, that everything will come at our fingertips right when we want it. And that includes promotions. That includes, you know, new job opportunities. That includes raises. We kind of think that, yeah, everything else has gotten made easier or faster thanks to technology. So where's the promotion button? I just need to find it, click on it, and voila, there you go. And I think that is a negative that people need to be aware of. Otherwise, they're going to expect things to happen more quickly than they actually will.
Mm-hmm. And what's one thing people really need to understand about their careers if they want to be happy and successful?
Well, it's related to that technological issue. They need to recognize that their careers are going, it's a process, that it's something that is going to improve over time. Like I mentioned earlier, with sports and instruments, relationships, languages, recipes, these are things that we improve over time. It takes a while to become a good chef. It takes a while. Even if you want to be an excellent video game player, it still takes you a lot of time to practice whatever game you want to get great at. And our careers function that way as well. I think for a lot of young people, especially if you're new in your career, if you're hungry, if you're ambitious, you know, you get really frustrated that you're not getting all these opportunities. You know you have the skills, or you at least believe you do, and you just want people to get out of your way so that you can show them how great you are. And that's a fair thing to think, but it's not reasonable to expect people to do that, because the only way you can prove to others that you have those skills, that you can handle more responsibility, is to do some things and to show them over time that you can handle more and more things. And there's only one trajectory that works. It happens slowly. It happens over time. We steadily improve. And, you know, with technology, you've seen all these instances of companies that look like they started from nowhere and they just pop into the public consciousness. All of a sudden, they're these big, giant companies. And you think, well, hey, these guys just spent 6 weeks building something. How come I can't get there in 6 weeks? When the reality is that all of these places, you know, for years and years and years, they were working underground. They were working anonymously, nobody paying any attention to them, until they finally got enough traction to, you know, get your attention.
So things don't come as easy as they appear. There's a lot of hard work behind the scenes.
You don't see the history behind them. And they think that things happen differently for all these other people than they are, you know, for themselves.
Mm-hmm. And there's a higher consciousness. There's more information and there's more ways of working through companies now than ever. Like, things are moving at a speed that is just, it feels like light speed. That's hard to keep up with.
And one of the issues there is that there's a psychological phenomenon called the poverty of choice. What it really means is the more options that our brains are presented with, the more likely we are to choose nothing, because our brains eventually decide that the work it takes to make a decision is more work than I want to put up with, and the easiest thing for me to do would just be to not decide anything at all. Mm-hmm. And that would explain why you can look at your closet sometimes and decide, I don't know what to wear, even though you're staring at 100 different outfits, or why you can sit down in front of the TV sometimes and decide, there's nothing to watch, even though there's more shows than ever before in human history. They did a study, the famous JAM study, that's what it was, that's at least how I heard about it. I think famous is probably overblowing it a little bit. So some people studied jam, and they put three varieties in one place in a grocery store and 20 varieties in a different place in a grocery store, same kind of location on the end of the aisle, so it's easy for everybody to see. And they just figured out how many people were buying stuff. And the interesting thing is more people stopped at the 20 varieties because there was more stuff to look at. More people bought from the three varieties because the decision to purchase was much easier. So with technology, the way that this all kind of ties in is there's so much stuff going on. There's so much news just kind of blasting its way into your feed, even if you're trying to shut all of it out, that a lot of times it's easy to get overwhelmed by all of that data and shut down and think, I'm not going to do anything because there's too much stuff going on. And I think it would be helpful for a lot of people to figure out how to consciously reduce the amount of input they're taking in, the amounts of information that's coming in, so that they can focus on whatever they need to focus on. It's one of the reasons that as we get older, we tend to have fewer hobbies, because eventually we learn that if we want to get good at anything, we can only afford to spend our time on, you know, one or two or maybe three different things. You can't do 25 kickball teams or whatever and be really good at all of them.
Absolutely. Jeff, you're a wealth of information and inspiration. We're just about out of time here, so I'd like to thank you so much. We're just coming to a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about the inspiring people in the workplace. Be right back.